Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The clock is running out, but it hasn't run out yet. We still have time, but we have no time to waste.
We've got 10 days to do this, and I really believe that all of the ingredients for a good resolution are there.
Republican Senator Pat Toomey and Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn on Fox News Sunday, and the Super Committee countdown is D-minus 9 days today, but by the Thanksgiving recess, with one eye on Italy and the other on 2012, the bipartisan committee may not come up with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction over the next 10 years or face the draconian cuts for the country that would automatically take effect, like to Medicare and the military. Listen to Senator Toomey. We'll play this clip later where Senator Toomey cracks open the door with some politician speak. The word for the automatic cuts is sequestration. So we will start here with Manu Raju, political congressional reporter who's been following the Super Committee's progress or lack thereof. Hi, Manu. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hi. How are you?
Good. I'll also mention that Politico is out with a national poll this morning, as you know, showing President Obama tied with a generic Republican candidate. Unfortunately for the GOP, no generic candidate is running. And as of now, Obama would beat Mitt Romney or any of the other non-generic name brand candidates. So we'll talk about that. Manu, to use Senator Toomey's and Senator Clyburn's words, are they headed for something at the end of 9 days? They're both saying, oh, well, there's you know, not much time, but there is time.
I think if they find anything, it's probably going to be window dressing. They're probably going to kick the can down the road on a lot of the key issues, especially involving tax reform. I think that they could come up with something, but it's not going to be anywhere near the level that most economists that say needs to happen in order to get this country back in a fiscally sustainable path. Some of the issues are just so intractable. They're very far apart. And they'll have a hard time getting it both through the committee, getting a majority vote in the committee, and getting it through both chambers of Congress. So, I mean, the prospects right now are looking pretty slim.
Senator Toomey from Pennsylvania was invited on Fox News Sunday yesterday because he has proposed a way to break the deadlock on the super committee over whether new taxes, new revenue could be part of the deficit cutting, as the Democrats want, or only spending cuts, as the Republicans want. This is where they've been stuck, of course, for months and months and months and months, going into the debt ceiling debacle in the summer, which is what led to the super committee. And here's Toomey saying his plan would be a better way to raise taxes than letting the Bush tax cuts expire.
What we've suggested is, as an alternative to an economy-destroying tax increase right around the corner, let's have a reform. Let's simplify the code. Let's lower rates. Let's wipe out some of the loopholes and special interest favors and deductions. Let's have the economic growth that would come with that. And as we lower the rates and contract the value of deductions, we're willing to generate a little more revenue so that we can reduce the deficit.
Now, so, Manu, is Toomey's plan really acceptable to the other Republicans on the super committee? And is it really a compromise as far as the Democrats are concerned?
It probably is for the Republicans on the committee. The Republicans in Congress is a different question. For the Democrats, they'd say this is absolutely not a compromise. They are especially concerned at the fact that the Toomey plan would lower marginal rates, would permanently extend those Bush-era tax cuts, including for the wealthiest income tax bracket, lower that to about 28%. Whereas in 2013, if the Bush tax cuts expired, they'll go up to about 39.6%. That is, for Democrats, of course, this is an issue that they've battled with the GOP over for the last few elections. They're not going to give up that. They say that it'll actually blow a hole in the budget, and it would not be enough to cover this increase in revenue that Toomey is calling for, which is essentially changing some of the deductions that can be claimed, usually ones that are claimed by wealthier individuals. So I think that,
in other words, it's a supply side revenue raiser. Toomey is saying that by cutting taxes, it's going to generate more revenue to the government because the economy will grow. And the Democrats are saying, no, that isn't real revenue raising. That's what they might have called in the Reagan era voodoo economics.
Well, it's part of it. They're talking about a total of revenues of about $500 billion, and that would include about $100 billion from what you were referring to, what they say is the result of economic growth from reforming the tax code. And you know, they're talking about $250 billion would actually come from the increased tax revenue from changing some of those deductions, how those deductions are treated. The rest would come from various fees, land transfers, leases for energy drilling, that sort of thing. So, you know, that's not nearly enough is what the Democrats are calling for. They're calling for about $1 trillion in new revenue, mostly through tax revenue, and with $1 trillion in spending cuts. So neither side is really close at this point.
All right. Back to Congressman Clyburn on the Democratic side. The committee has to come up with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction. He and some other Democrats are proposing a $4 trillion grand bargain, the kind of thing that the president and Speaker Boehner almost came to agreement on in the summer, with more cuts and more tax hikes. Let's listen to Congressman Clyburn on Fox News Sunday.
Well, I hope it's not, because I am a full trillion-dollar guy. I do believe that we can do this. In fact, I think in order for us to be fair and balanced, if I might use that term.
Go ahead, sir.
We ought to go to a big deal. That way we could do enough job creation in a resolution that will allow us to do some, I've called surgical fixes to entitlement. I would love to see us put together a big deal that will increase the possibilities of a 75-year solvency for Social Security. You cannot do that with a little deal.
Congressman Clyburn on Fox News Sunday. We're with Manu Raju, congressional correspondent for Politico, who's covering the deficit reduction super committee process, deadline Thanksgiving. What's in the $4 trillion scenario that makes it so hard for Republicans to say yes?
They're talking about a fair amount of tax increases, not necessarily raising marginal rates other than the top 1%, which, of course, Republicans say is they cannot accept any sort of tax increases. But it is the tax issue. I mean, this party has really run on the principle of no tax increases, no net tax increases. And you have a lot of very conservative members of the House who wield a lot of clout in the House and, frankly, in the Senate, too. And so if you're talking about a $4 trillion plan, it can't be all done through entitlements, cuts to entitlements like Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. It has to come from a lot of revenue raisers, eliminating a lot of deductions, and really overhauling the tax code significantly, something that the Bull-Simpson Commission called for. But that level of revenue that would be raised, you know, in the $1 trillion range, more than $1 trillion in some cases, it's just something that Republicans have just refused to go along with, and would not get through the Republican-controlled House.
So they're really stuck. We just went over Congressman Clyburn's scenario that the Republicans won't go for, Republican Senator Toomey's scenario that the Democrats won't go for. There's a deficit problem in this country, obviously. People are looking at 2012. People are looking at Italy and the rest of Europe. So listen to Senator Toomey once again crack open the door of actually not meeting this deadline, nonetheless, the Thanksgiving deadline, with some politician speak. Now, the word for the automatic cuts that would take effect if they don't get anything done is sequestration. So should the sequestration be eliminated, Senator?
I don't think that we should eliminate the sequestration in the alternative. First of all, I'm not giving up on getting something done. I really think we still can, and I'm going to do everything I can to achieve that. But in the very, very unfortunate event that we don't, I think it's very likely that Congress would reconsider the configuration of that sequestration and consider, is this really the best way to do it? I think that would be a lively debate that will occur, and the nature of those cuts, which I think the cuts have to occur, they might occur in a different fashion.
Okay, Manu, he's talking about reconsidering the configuration of the sequestration. What does that mean in English?
Well, about half of the, if Congress is not able to pass a deal out of the super committee, about $1.2 trillion in across-the-board cuts would come from various federal agencies, and about half of which would come from defense programs. So we're talking about $600 billion worth of cuts over 10 years. This is something the Pentagon is strongly opposed to. This is something deficit defense hawks in Congress are really pushing back against. And this is something that will create a huge fight. Now, if the super committee cannot reach a deal, we are going to see the next debate going to be how to change the sequestration, which, of course, was created to compel the super committee to get a deal.
Well, so that's exactly the point, isn't it? When they were in the midst of the debt ceiling debacle in the summer, hopelessly gridlocked, the way that they kicked the can down the road at that time was to say, okay, we'll do a small deal now that only has spending cuts, no tax hikes. So the Democrats kind of caved on that, but with the understanding that they would put teeth into a Thanksgiving deadline by passing these draconian automatic cuts that, as you say, would hit the military, would hit entitlement programs, that neither party's constituents would be happy with them for unless they acted by Thanksgiving. And this was presented to us in the summer as something that they can't wriggle out of. They really have to, you know, they have this hanging over their heads. Now we're hearing all of a sudden they can wriggle out of the consideration of the sequestration.
Yes, and Congress conveniently made the deadline to impose those cuts in 2013. So they have the entire year of 2012 to haggle over changing the sequestration if they so choose to go that route.
I mean, if they do fail by Thanksgiving and these automatic cuts take effect on paper, they don't actually take effect for another year.
That's right. They have a full year to argue about this, which I think will really shape the congressional and the presidential campaign. You know, the president said last week, he called the co-chairs of the committee, Senator Patty Murray and Jeb Hensarling, and said, look, I can't accept a change to the sequestration and as a way to pressure the super committee to get a deal. So it's not clear if that means that he would veto something that came across his desk. But, you know, Republicans are the ones who are really voicing more concern about sequestration than Democrats are right now because of the defense cuts. And the Medicare cuts in the sequestration are really capped at about 2%. They're mostly to provider side. May not affect benefits as much. Mm-hmm. So there's more. There's less outrage coming from the Democratic side of the aisle.
Manu Raju from Politico, watching the Super Committee as they head toward the Thanksgiving deadline. 212-433-WNYC and David in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, yeah, hi. My name's David. My question is, how can it be considered? How can the letting a tax break expire be considered a tax cut? I don't understand that at all.
No, it's a tax hike.
Or a tax hike. I mean, yeah, exactly, a tax hike. A tax break was given for a temporary period of time to wealthy people, I imagine, and now that time has expired. That's not a tax hike. That's putting taxes back to where they were. How's that a hike?
Right. So that would be putting taxes back to where they were a decade ago, before the Bush tax cuts took effect. So to people who have been paying those lower rates for 10 years now, that would feel like a tax hike. And that's the politics of it, Manu, in short, right?
That's right. I mean, you look at the capital gains and capital tax cuts, the capital gains that were enacted during the Bush administration, the first term. Democrats have been arguing to increase those tax rates on capital gains. Typically, of course, those are ones that more wealthy individuals get. And that's, of course, what Warren Buffett has famously said, that, hey, you know, raise my capital gains taxes, raise my marginal incomes tax rate. And the reason why Republicans say that, you know, they're finally opposed to doing that at all. You know, it's interesting because one of the things that the Obama administration enacted as part of the stimulus law was to create a payroll tax cut that would would presumably lead to more hiring. And, of course, the payroll tax goes into Social Security. The problem for now is that every time that this payroll tax break is about to expire, it's going to be a fight over whether or not to go back to the normal level or maintain this lower tax rate. And as a result, that could hurt the Social Security Trust Fund, which, of course, funds millions and millions of people who rely on that every week and every month.
Our next segment is going to be about the ongoing economic train wreck in Europe. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel is out today saying this is perhaps Europe's toughest moment since World War II, which is pretty frightening language. I'm just curious, does the European situation matter to this process politically in this country? Does it add extra pressure to both sides to actually break out of the usual political gridlock and do something real about the deficit and not kick the can down the road? Or is it just beside the point?
Well, I think rhetorically you're here. Politicians all the time say that, look, we cannot become another Greece, we cannot become another Italy. We are staring at the same situation in the U.S. This is going to happen to us. We're just not seeing much evidence that either side is willing to come to that. I mean, there are people in both parties who say that they are. We're just not seeing that exhibited at the highest levels here on Capitol Hill.
And we'll get to Felix Salmon, Reuters finance blogger, in just a minute with the evolving story from Europe this morning. But just let me touch briefly before you go, Manu, on Politico's new poll out today showing Obama tied with a generic Republican, but beating the name brand varieties, Romney by 6 points, Kaine by 9 points. Have you seen enough of this? I know this is not exactly your beat, but it is your organization, Politico, that put out the poll. Have you seen enough to know why the president is holding his own despite the bad economy, despite the lack of enthusiasm among his base, and the loss of the centrist independents who helped get him elected?
I think the voters are just not sold on the Republican candidates yet, and I think you're seeing that in the very fluid Republican field right now. I mean, every few weeks there's someone else who's rising in the polls. Mitt Romney's held steady in the low 20s, but Herman Cain, of course, has been beating him even despite some of the problems he's had in recent weeks. Newt Gingrich is rising in the polls. I just don't think that voters are quite yet sold on the Republican candidates yet. When it does come down to a general election and voters get to become more comfortable with the Republican candidates, I think you'll see those poll numbers shift one way or another.
And to my eye, maybe the biggest news from the poll is that it looks like the sex harassment charges are beginning to hurt Cain. Politico has him sinking a bit each day last week and now suffering from a major gender gap among Republican primary voters, male and female, and even bigger, 18 points of a gender gap matched up with President Obama.
That's right. I mean, I think you add that plus, questions about, how deep of his, is his policy platform beyond his 999 plan. I think some voters may get some second thoughts here.
Manu Raju, congressional reporter for Politico. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we will talk about the European situation, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel this morning, as Italy and Greece rush to form new governments, calling this perhaps Europe's toughest moment since World War II. We'll look behind that quote. Stay tuned.